whether you're a service provider or you have a product, or even if you don't, you can do an Amazon gift card, promote a giveaway, be really excited about your podcast so that you get as many people over there as possible.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we are back with another episode of Podcast on Podcasting. And is there ever a time that you can think of that you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't know if I can achieve that. I don't know if I'm good enough for that. I don't know if I'm the right person for that. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I have the right education. I don't know if I'm cool enough or charismatic enough, or that I'm eloquent enough. Like Adam Adams is absolutely the least eloquent person ever. And so have you ever thought like that? Like, it's going to be difficult for me to achieve something, because really it's just your brain that's holding you back. Well, perfect. Perfect. So have I. And probably Melissa, who's on the podcast today, has probably felt that way as well. And she's devoted her life and time and attention to helping people to be able to overcome those limiting beliefs. And so she, Melissa Smith, who's on the podcast, her podcast is called High Vibe Mindset. So you go and check that out, especially if you resonated with anything that I mentioned a moment ago. She and her husband get together. He's a PA and she's a mindset coach and a dietitian. And so what they do, they come together and they just help people as they're new entrepreneurs themselves to be able to avoid and get past these limiting beliefs so that you can excel. So if you feel like you could use a little bit of that, perfect. She's already got a podcast like that. And she started it January of 2021. And so as we're recording, not too long ago. And so I'm just looking at all these episodes and each and every one of them has something in there that I want to learn. But we're not necessarily going to learn about all of that today. We're going to talk about her journey. And Melissa, thank you for being on the show, first and foremost. I want you to start by just letting us know your why behind the why. Why did you even start a podcast? Why that podcast? Why is your husband your co-host? What was going on when you decided to make this? What inspired you to do it? And then I have some other questions that are going to be following right after.
Yeah, thank you so much for that awesome introduction. And the biggest why behind my why with starting the High Vibe Mindset podcast is because I am someone who definitely struggles a lot with mindset blocks and insecurities and self-doubt. And it's been a lifelong journey. And podcasts have really been a source of inspiration and motivation for me, especially as a new entrepreneur, and just got me through a lot of moments in my life with going through a really tough grad school with everything. And I feel really inspired when I listen to those podcasts that help with mindset, with mental health, with self-development. And being an avid learner, I wanted to continue to glean insights and really share the practices that I've actually done in my own life as well. So the things that have truly helped me, have helped my husband and I, the things that we actually do, we want to share with people. This worked for us. This is why.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So you found that you learn a lot from other podcasts. They inspire you, they help you grow. And so obviously you're thinking, if I want to inspire and help other people, I should maybe be a podcaster. And I resonate with that personally, because I remember when I was growing up, I struggled with ADD. Most people don't know this, and I usually don't say this on my podcast. So if you're listening, you're about to learn something interesting. And I feel a little bit better about it because Elon Musk just said that he was on the spectrum as well. But I'm on the autism spectrum, so I have a little bit of Asperger's. So there's just some things in my life that have been a little bit different. I remember it was always a challenge until I started playing music. Like, I started junior high. I got into the junior high band. I didn't even want to take junior high. I wanted to take metal shop or wood shop. I was in eighth grade and they put me with all these seventh graders, brand new bells, and it changed my life. And so it's interesting. I remember saying, because my life was changed by this, I wanted to help other people. So guess what I decided that I was going to go to school for? I went to school to become a music teacher, a junior high band director, because that's where I got the most value. And so obviously you have learned a lot through these podcasts. They inspire you, and that turns you into wanting, that's your why behind the why. I want to support other people. I totally resonate with that. However, you probably didn't do everything right.
No way.
And so I'm very curious, and I know the listener is going to get a ton of value. If we can discuss what you did to start that podcast after being inspired and knowing you wanted to do it, what were some of the steps you did? And then I really want to hear you pour into the listener the pros and the cons, the things that you did super duper well that seemed to explode your growth, and the other things that seemed to, like, they were stressful, they might have held you back. And with those two things, all the pros and the cons of what you learned starting a podcast, I think that that will help the listener be able to be more streamlined in their podcast journey.
Yes, definitely. I'll start with the good things, the things that were actually on my radar and that helped me. And then I'll go into the things that I kind of know in hindsight now that I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done that and that would have helped. But for me, I really wanted to start off and make a really strong first impression. And in my mind, I'm like, I need to have a really good cover photo for the podcast. We need to have a good trending titles and something that's kind of relevant. And something that, of course, we're interested in as well. And other people will hear it and understand exactly what that's going to be about. So that was my first thing is, okay, I want to make sure that we have a nice photo, we have a nice name. And I didn't have to go hire anyone to do that. I just kind of made that in Canva. I took my time with it, lots of iterations until it came out just right. And then the other thing I did was, I know how important it is to be able to niche down. And as much fun as it is to talk about everything, and we kind of get away with that a little bit of talking about different topics, but you really need to understand the why, and you need to understand your audience and what is the value you're going to bring them. What are they going to get from listening to your podcast? So I definitely had that in mind too. I took some time to think about that. And everything always comes down to mindset with me, even with my mindset coaching. And as a dietitian, when I coach, if it's coaching on nutrition, I'm always focusing on the mindset. I even have that on my Instagram handle, Intuitive Eating Mindset. So I knew I wanted a podcast that really would talk about the mindset. I knew my audience, I wanted those new aspiring entrepreneurs as well, because I know in the beginning it's really tough and people tend to drop out, right? Or they tend to get really discouraged and have a lot of the self-doubt and limiting beliefs. So that's what helped me, was knowing, okay, make a really good first impression, and then to treat it seriously and be really consistent to make sure we're going to record every Friday, we're going to get the episode up every Tuesday, and we're just going to do that. Whether or not things go how we want, I mean, I could struggle a lot with imposter syndrome and think that the episode's not good enough. I definitely struggled with that in the beginning, but the consistency really helped to set up that schedule and make sure that I'm going to be consistent from the get-go. And I think between those things that really helped as soon as I launched to make the podcast seem very professional, very legit, and that helped to attract a lot of amazing guests, which I wasn't expecting. I thought that the podcast would just basically be me and my husband for a while or indefinitely. But as soon as we got the podcast up and promoted it a little bit, just like in Facebook groups, we had a lot of guests just come to us and want to be on the show.
I need to cut you off, and I'm sure you have even more, but what you've shared so far has been awesome. I've loved it. And so I'm still making notes, which is why I can't even talk social media. Perfect. So I did it. Check out what I pulled down just from what you mentioned a moment ago. So with the pros, I was expecting one or two pros, Melissa. I was like, oh, she'll have like one or two and that's a beginner grade. But I think you have like 15 here or 12 here. So number one pro is you knew that you had to have a first impression because a first impression is a lasting impression. Number two, you focused on the cover art. And part of that, later on, you mentioned that you used Canva to do it, which is another huge benefit. We'll put a link to Canva in the show notes so that if you want to use the same thing and be able to do some of this on your own without hiring somebody with a high expense, you will be able to still make something that looks professional. You also talked about a trendy name, a name that would trend, a title of the podcast that people would see. I also loved it. You talked about how it needs to resonate with your exact listener. And you went into knowing the importance of niching down, of finding your niche, of basically focus, of focusing on one thing. And I remember just as we were starting to record, it probably wasn't on the recording, so I'll definitely bring it up to the listener. With you, you have your MBA. You also have some designation about nutrition. I don't even know what it's called. It's so fancy. And additionally, you're a mindset coach. And with your podcast, you don't really go all out there. You're not one of those people that says, hey, I'll just have a podcast about all the cool things that I do. You found that you needed to niche it and you did a great job actually niching down. But additionally, if you ever go on and talk about nutrition, it goes hand in hand with that episode about still with mindset. So I love it. And just kind of growing, I think that's critical and it's important because others, they kind of get off the tracks. And when you're a train, it's not good when you're not on the tracks. So you got to stay focused. You got to stay going the right direction. You don't want to be derailed. Mm-hmm. And so you'd also don't want your listener to feel derailed. So I've learned a lot from you already just from those few things, making sure that it's something that people can resonate with. Niching down, staying on track, knowing the value that you deliver to your listener. The episodes are focused. Your social media is focused. And here's a huge one that you mentioned. It's consistency no matter what. And it can be tough. I mean, I don't know if you felt this way, Melissa. Have you ever felt like, man, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. This is harder than I thought, or this is more than I thought, or I don't know if it's laying on deaf ears or if I'm getting through to someone. Have you ever felt that way with your podcast?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely hard to be consistent every single week. I think I have a lot of, I truly enjoy it. And I feel like I'm even learning something anyways, and it's helping me stay in the mindset. I love the guests that I have. So I would do it for free anyways, but I definitely have moments where I'm like, I also want to monetize this. And I'm doing this for a bigger purpose as well. So definitely can be frustrating and have those moments of self-doubt. Like, should I be doing this? Am I wasting my time?
And I definitely think that you're not wasting your time. And I definitely appreciate you being consistent. Long, long, long time ago, I think I was 8 years old, 6 years old, something like that. I was getting paid $1 an hour by my stepdad. He had a tree farm and I would water every single tree. And I'd get maybe like 5 hours. And so I'd have a sunburn and I'd make $5 and I had to come home. And one day I just said, hey, I'm just going to water half of them because it's really hot. It's July. And so I left and my stepdad was like, hey, if you start a job, you have to finish it. And that stuck with me my whole life. And I remember when I was starting a meetup group. I don't know if everybody knows what a meetup group is, but it's basically a group of people that meet once a month or once a quarter. In my case, I decided to go once a week. I niched down this meetup and I decided to go once a week. And I remember thinking about that, watering those plants. And my dad would not let me come home early. And I had to make a commitment. If I start this podcast, in my case, this was a meetup. If I start this meetup, I'm going to go every single week for at least 1 year, even if nobody shows up. And I remember feeling that and thinking about being the only one at a meetup group by myself, just because I was imagining it. What on the worst case scenario, what would it be like? And I remember thinking like, okay, I'll just have my laptop with me and I'll just get some work done. So I made that commitment. And like the first week, it snowed like 10 inches. And by the way, this is the worst snowstorm in 4 hours to snow 10 inches. And my car was balding tires because it came from Florida now to Denver. And that was one of the hardest decisions to say, man, I promised myself that I would just keep going because there was always things. And the first one, there was only 4 people and then 5 people and then 3 people and then 6 people. It was frustrating. It was difficult. But eventually, because I did what you are doing, Melissa, you being consistent, and I hope this inspires you, and I hope this inspires the listener as well, that meetup group, that lunch club, I met every single lunch, became one of the top 6 well-known meetups in the entire world out of 225,000 meetups, only because of the consistency, only because I decided that rain or shine or snow or nobody shows or lots of people show, I gotta show up. And it made a huge impact in my life. So I want people to really hold on to what you said, that you will do the consistency no matter what. You also had that imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to feel that. I felt that way with my meetup. I feel that way today with my podcast because I know that I'm not very eloquent and I know that somebody always knows more than me. And today, as a matter of fact, I've learned a lot from Melissa Smith on this one podcast. And here I am trying to be the host of the podcast on podcasting, and it's tough. And so I totally understand where you're coming from. We're all going to feel that way. You just got to get that limiting belief out of your mind because you're going to add value for sure. And you talked about your launch where you had, you wanted to make sure that it was legit and professional. As you were launching your podcast, you wanted to be able to show credibility. And you did it, even if you felt imposter syndrome. Like, you got out there, you promoted it on social media, and you started getting really good guests and credibility for the show. So your pros were way more than I ever expected. I appreciate them. Yeah. And each and every one of these things we can definitely learn from if we want to be successful. I want to hear your cons, though. What were challenges? What would you do differently next time?
Yeah, the cons, launching, I don't have a large network or a large audience. So that's always tough because you want to have that and you want to promote your podcast in a really strategic way when you first launch. And that's something that wasn't on my radar at all. And in hindsight, I learned some different strategies with batching a few episodes or uploading maybe 5 to 8 episodes all at once so people can binge listen to it or do contests, which I've seen nowadays. So even with the small audience I do have, probably like around 3,000 with all my platforms and everything, I could have created a giveaway contest or something, like really announced it and said, hey, if you leave a review, you can get this prize. So there's a lot of different things you can do around your launch to really help boost your growth. And those were things that I didn't do. I just kind of launched the first episode, told my friends and family on Facebook, but I also did promote it in some different Facebook groups within the first 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to start promoting this. And so I joined some different free podcast Facebook groups and promoted in there. And that helped me attract guests and gain momentum. But I think that's definitely one thing. You want to have a really solid growth plan. Also with social media, having a really good plan with that too, and showing up on video more. Those are all things that I'm working on now. I'm really focused on growth.
Taking notes with your batching episodes, that is critical. If you're listening and you're thinking about maybe, oh, just people will tell you, ready, fire, aim, don't overthink it, just get started, just record your first episode. Well, hey, if you record that episode and just publish it, it will be difficult. I'm just telling you for the truth. If you're always just behind the eight ball, if you're just doing one episode at a time, there will come a time where your podcast is going to be more stressful than you could ever imagine. And you'll probably do what 90-something percent of people do, and they just quit after 6 episodes or less because they're not batching. So that was a huge takeaway. If you're listening and you're about to start a podcast, or if you already have a podcast, find a way to start batching them. And I always say record more than you publish. So if you're doing like 4 episodes a week, try to record maybe 7 episodes a month. Or if you're doing 4 episodes a month, try to record 7 episodes a month. So you're always ahead and you're never behind the eight ball. You're never stressed. And if you need to take a vacation, if you need to take a break, you have those episodes in the can. You mentioned, Melissa, a giveaway to boost your growth in the first couple of weeks. You kind of did a few things, but maybe you could have done a giveaway.
Yeah.
For the listener, what could they do tangibly, type of giveaway? What might be a good plan for the listener to do if they're about to launch a podcast?
Yeah, I would say whether you're a service provider or you have a product, or even if you don't, you can do an Amazon gift card. But I would really promote a giveaway, be really excited about your podcast, and ask for those reviews and those listens to boost that launch day and that launch week and that launch month, so that you get as many people over there as possible. Because if you have a great incentive, a great giveaway, that can really help. And one of my business coaches, that I got the idea from her because I saw her do that, and she shot up to the news and note, or the new and noteworthy.
Yeah.
And she got a lot of reviews by doing that, because she was giving away her really high ticket coaching, and she gave away several things actually, because she really wanted to get a bunch of reviews, and it worked really well.
Wow. Very interesting. I'm trying to wonder if I should do something like that. This podcast is already launched. We're already several episodes in, but being able to boost that way is incredible. Yeah. I've told a lot of clients to make phone calls. This isn't about a giveaway, but it helps you to be able to gain that. What's the best term for it? I would say social proof. Like, as you're getting ratings and reviews, then it's kind of like Amazon. When you're on Amazon, yes, you love that you can buy stuff in your underwear or less. And you also probably love that you don't have to put on makeup or drive anywhere and you still get your stuff. But I think what really people like the most out of Amazon isn't that they can buy stuff from the comfort of their own home, but I really think that it's because they can easily see the ratings and reviews, the social proof, whether or not this is a good product. And so they can do that with, quote, peace of mind. And I think that's one of the things that we get from our podcast when a lot of people give us 5-star written ratings, reviews, etc. So what I was going to say is, I love that you had that idea from your business coach who gave away some stuff in order to get that. But I've also found that you can get a lot of written ratings, written reviews, by making a phone call and saying, "Hey, Melissa, this is Adam. I know it's been a while, but I just launched a podcast and I need your help. I need a couple of people that I trust to just give me an honest rating and review after listening to an episode or two. Can I count on you?" Mm-hmm. That could go a long way as well. You can get a lot of traction that way as well. So giveaways, boosting growth, first 2 weeks, you said, and I would even venture to say like 8 weeks if you want to make sure you're getting on new and noteworthy, but really focus for those 8 weeks. You mentioned a growth plan and a social media plan that you kind of may have, forgive me if I'm putting you down or anything, but it sounded like you were saying you didn't really have a growth plan. You didn't really have a social media plan. What would you do besides the giveaways, knowing everything that you know now, if you're starting the podcast now, what would be your growth plan? What would be your social media plan?
Yeah. So I think for anyone who really wants to monetize their podcast and get a lot of growth as fast as possible, I'm kind of a little bit more relaxed. Like, I do want that, but I'm also focused more on, I mean, this is one of the main funnels now for my one-on-one coaching, but what I've been doing so far with social media is making sure to post each time there's a new episode, so once a week. But what I would do, and what I do plan to do soon, I have a meeting with someone. I'm getting assistance for that so that I can increase that. But you definitely need to post consistently. You need my platform of choice would be Instagram. So I have to speak to Instagram. You could do LinkedIn, YouTube, any other thing where you're posting on social media, or Facebook. But on Instagram, it's really important to post consistently and post with what the algorithm likes right now, which is real. So I would sit down and I would make an editorial calendar, and I would plan a lot of different reels that I could do. And I would make sure I'm posting a reel like 5 times a week and showing up, and then also posting a static post about the episode would be my growth plan.
So the reels, and that's a huge takeaway for all of us. Like, I have noticed as well that anytime you're on social media and you want to get like the most amount of value, there's 3 things that you can do. And you already mentioned 2 of them. A, you can engage with the audience. Mm-hmm. That's huge. B, being consistent and posting regularly. And C, using whatever that social media platform, whatever's new. Like the reels, they're new today, so we got to use them. Stories, they're new today, so we got to use them. Facebook Lives, whatever. If that's the new thing, whatever's new and trending, whatever they're promoting, we have to find a way to be able to use it. So yeah, basically the 3 that I would say are 1, doing whatever's new, 2, being consistent always, and 3, engage with your audience. So those are critical, crucial pieces. But Melissa, you mentioned something else that you might do differently, and that was to show up on video more. And I don't know what you mean. Does that mean Facebook Live? Does that mean going on YouTube? Does that mean, I'm not really sure what you mean by showing up on video more. Can you go into some details that, like, if we're trying to grow our podcast and we heard that we need to show up on video more, what does that mean to us?
Yeah. So video on social media is super important, and video can mean showing up on stories, on IGTV, on like Facebook Live, Instagram Live, anything where you're visually showing up, you're building know, like, and trust, because these static posts only do so much. And in the social media world, when people can hear you and see you or get a clip or a taste of your podcast, that will really draw them in. So I think that's important. Right now, it's something that I am working toward. I'm getting assistance and I'm working on my schedule to make the time for it. So far, I've made the time for how it is with podcasting. It's a lot of work to prepare the episode and to edit the episode and record the episode. And I really only have like that Friday and Tuesday, a small window of time open for me right now, but I'm creating the time to really prioritize social media. But that video is super important, because this statistics just show that people are watching that more. They're spending more time on video. The eyeballs are on video more within the platforms, and the platforms are promoting that more and pushing that more. So you're going to get into the explore page easier. They'll extend your reach. Even for example, with my nutrition coaching and account, when I post something, I might get 150 likes, 200 likes. And when I look at the reach, it could be anywhere from like 400 to 1,000, 2,000. But when I post a reel, I'm breaking over 2,000 for the reach. I'm getting more views on it. So automatically, no matter what type of reel I create, more people are going to see it and interact with it. So that's, I'm already seeing that with my page, and that's what we keep hearing. So it's like, if we know that, then we need to do more video.
Super, super interesting. And it's inspiring too, just to think it's like almost the same amount of work. It seems like nearly the same amount of work to post stagnant photo versus a reel. They both take time and effort and thought process. Maybe the reel takes a little longer, but for the work that you're putting in, if you want to get 100 people to view it or 2,000 people to view it, make your choice.
Yeah.
Spend a tiny bit more time, attention, and go out of your comfort zone, because that's one of the reasons why these are boosted, is because not everybody even dares to do it. But if you can get over your mindset and start to do this thing, you will be able to make a little bit more influence and impact on your audience and kind of grow your show as well. So a lot of really, really good things that came out of that. And I also liked how you said with your reels, one of the things that you're focusing on doing intentionally is hiring and being able to put yourself to where you're planning out those reels ahead of time, because they are so important to you and they do get you such a big amount of value as you do them, that you're being sure that you can be ahead of it and not kind of behind the eight ball and plan those out, get them out of the way, then have them slowly drip out. I love that. So I want to ask you, just because you have, there's two things that I'm hoping to get from you right now. A, you work with your husband on the podcast. B, regardless of who it is, you have a co-host. And it makes us think of, man, should we be working with our spouse? What are the pros? What are the cons? Or should we even be working with a co-host? What are the pros? What are the cons? So I'm curious if you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of the pros and cons of, in general, having a co-host and what to think of before we make that decision who we work with. And secondly, really go into what it's like to work with a spouse and what we need to be thinking of if that's what the listener is considering doing.
Yes, I love this question because I think this is one of the harder parts of my podcast specifically at first. I grew a lot. I learned a lot from working with my husband because I wanted to do that. I was super excited. I've been wanting to podcast for years, but I, for some reason, wanted a co-host. It's kind of the podcast I enjoy. I really like the Skinny Confidential, the Him and Her podcast. I love that dynamic. And I love just being able to have that time actually to connect with my husband, and we're both doing it together and it's fun. And I hear his perspective and my perspective. But for me personally, I really had to learn how to let go a lot of control and expectation, because I'm someone that is hyper organized. I am a planner and I really had to kind of relax more and allow things to just be, because originally comparing myself to what was in my head and thinking, okay, if we do this together, we really got to keep it 50-50. Like, we got to be talking 50-50. You ask half the questions, I ask half the questions, make sure we're both really contributing to the podcast, just as far as the episodes go and showing up and talking on them. But we have really different styles, and he is more introverted. He's outgoing, but introverted, and he's more of a listener, and he's really intentional about when he speaks. So at first I was frustrated, like, he's not speaking enough. He needs to ask more questions, but that's like the magic of it. I think I started off the podcast planning too much, like preparing questions for guests, preparing questions for us, preparing our script of like, okay, we're going to talk about this today. And this is the back and forth. And once I really let go and realized, you know what? The magic is in just showing up. My job is to be consistent and to show up and say my part and allow the other person to show up how they are. That's what I had to learn. So I think it can really work if you learn how to do that and you really respect the other person. You learn how to kind of let go of the control if you're more on the control freak side like me.
I definitely am a control freak. And frankly, that's why I host my podcast all by myself.
Yeah.
Because I can kind of see a path and a plan of where I want to take it. And for me, someone else is going to ask a question. I'm like, are you kidding? I had it all. What are you doing? So for me, I'm like, I want to control it all. So that is interesting that you're similar. Like, you are a control freak in a way, like me, and you want it to be perfect and you want it to be how you designed it in your brain without, I don't know if you're like this too, but I basically imagine everybody's going to read my mind. I don't tell them anything. I just think, okay, well, I got it in here. So you just got to read my mind unless we're on the same page. So I forget to communicate sometimes as well, but that is definitely something. I'm a control freak. I loved that you said you got to learn to let go of being in control. And also, I love the other fact that you said you kind of let go of some expectation.
Yeah, I had to, because that's what I wanted. I mean, I know I wanted to do it with him. I do more episodes sometimes solo or sometimes with guests, and his schedule is busier than mine because I work from home and I have more control over my schedule. But with his full-time job and with his own business that he's running, like, the podcast is something that he can make most episodes, but not all of them. But I really enjoy when he does. And at first I was really stressed out. And in my head, I was thinking, no, don't take it that way. Or don't say that. don't take the episode there. Or what are you talking about? Or what kind of question is that? And out of left field. And I kept thinking, don't spring random questions on our guests because I've already gave them the questions we're going over. But the more I've been learning about podcasts, I've been hearing that that's actually good to do. And it's good to, it creates more of the authentic conversation and it helps things not sound so scripted. And that's where you can really go into better conversations, better territory, and go deeper with conversations. And what really got me, I think the thing that really helped me too was early on, one guest we had, it was just us talking, but he's took the episode somewhere. He said something and I was like, oh, this doesn't seem very PC. I don't like this. I don't feel comfortable with where this is going. And it was fine. It was PC, but I'm just so hyper, like, what are people thinking? But then later someone left a review and they specifically liked what he said. They're like, I love this episode. I love when you guys talked about this. And I'm like, oh, okay. So,
yeah. Oh gosh. I remember, sorry to cut you off and I hope you're not offended.
No problem.
A time when I discussed something on my podcast that I didn't really want to discuss. It was a podcast. I've now sold it. It was called Creative Real Estate Podcast. But we talked about a time that we lost money. We lost credibility. I was so embarrassed. I did not want to talk about it. It's not anything about being politically correct. It was just that one thing that I was reluctant to share. And yeah. Randomly enough, we got tons of ratings and reviews right after. We got in the real estate field where that was. We got people that were passive investors that wanted to be, they just want to put their money into other people's deals. They were like, hey, now I want to put my money with you because you were honest, because you like shared something. And so that is a huge mention, like with your husband kind of going off, not off the rails, but in a way that you almost felt reluctant to share.
Yeah.
And that vulnerability really ended up pulling your listener closer to you, so much so that one of them left a rating and a review pointing that out. That's really good. You mentioned to relax and let it be. I would have to figure that out somehow if I was a co-host. The 50-50 thing, I was curious about. Do you really feel like it needs to be 50-50? Or is it like, is there just something in your brain that thinks that 50-50 and even is like fair? Because like in my mind, I don't actually believe that a co-host relationship needs to necessarily be 50-50. And even if it is, it doesn't necessarily mean that each person has to talk exactly 50% of the time or exactly 50% of the episodes or exactly 50% of the value. But I do think that it's beneficial. Just as you said, you guys had different styles. Yeah. He's more of like a listener and more intentional, a man of few words. He doesn't talk unless he's like, knows that he has something good to say. I think, didn't I learn that from Walt Disney? If you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Me personally, I don't think it necessarily has to be 50-50 to be a good partnership in there. So I'm just curious, is this more like idealistic? I want it to be 50-50 or?
Oh yeah, it was just.
I want him to ask half the questions.
Yeah, it was more just what I liked, like the podcast I had on a pedestal. And then I was like, I really like them. And they're not even fully 50-50 either, because she does a lot of solo episodes and she talks more than he does. But I think they mostly do show up consistently together on like probably 95% of the episode. So I guess I was just thinking, oh, that's how it should be. So that's how we should make our show. But really, like, it's your own show. You can do whatever you want. And the dynamic we have is great. And we complement each other because he's a great audio engineer type of person, which he just learned on his own. So he helps a lot with that. And I do the marketing. So in some ways we are kind of splitting a lot of the task. I think that's important, but it also depends on each person. If you feel fine with doing a lot of the work and then someone else just kind of shows up a little bit because that's what you guys agreed on and that's what you're comfortable with, that's perfectly fine too. So there definitely is no right or wrong. It's like whatever works for you. And for me, I had to maybe at first I had that idea and it wasn't working and how I thought, and I was getting frustrated. Then I'm like, wait, why am I making up these rules when we can do it however we want?
Yeah. You don't have to necessarily be somebody else's podcast. You like that podcast. You respect that, admire that podcast, but it's also okay for us as up and coming famous podcasters to be ourselves and to be unique and to design our own path and to forge a direction that maybe not anyone has ever gone before. I think I'm quoting Star Trek, but let's move on. You mentioned that your schedules don't really align because he's got his business that he's starting and he's also got a full-time job. And do you guys have kids?
Yeah, we have one son.
Okay. Yeah. And so you're also raising your son and you got to work on your marriage and you got to go on your date nights and everything else. So there's a lot.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's a little bit of a challenge for him to be able to be on every single episode. So you're doing some episodes where you're all by yourself and you're doing some other episodes where you're with you and a guest. Is that accurate?
Yes. So it's either my husband and I, which we haven't done one just us in a while, and that's on the agenda, or it's myself solo, or it's my husband and I and a guest, or it's just me and a guest.
So does he doesn't really do the guest interviews alone then?
No.
Accurate?
Okay, yeah.
Got it. And so out of curiosity, what is the main reason for that? And I like that you are, I think of it like a tree bending in the wind. Like if they don't bend, they're going to snap. And if they can kind of be a little bit loosey-goosey, they'll be able to stay up there for the longest amount of time. And it's something that I think of when thinking about getting a show with a co-partner, with a co-host. And one absolute that I've noticed with my own ex-podcast, and I serve like 45 different podcasters. We do all their post-production and marketing and stuff. And so I've noticed it with theirs as well. If they're being really rigid about, I've got to have both hosts on every single episode, it ends up being more difficult and the tree breaks.
Yeah.
And when you can be more like, it's okay. We just want to put out the content. We just want to add value to others. And if we can't both meet up at the exact same time, we can still put out value. That's when that tree is able to withstand all of the winds. And it sounds like that's what you've been doing. You've been able to bend with the wind as you're creating this podcast, regardless of if your co-host, your husband, can make every single episode. Is that, do you notice that as well?
Yes, that's exactly the mindset that I am in with it. I was going to say I came in with it, but not quite. At first, I was kind of like, I want things this way. But I realized he has such a busy schedule. And a really important thing, too, is having really good audio quality and having the episode sound like professionally edited, which he's doing. We're not hiring someone to do that. He figured all that out. He's handling all of that. And he also has to do that each week too. So if I'm getting that and he's working on that, and that means that he can't be in as many episodes because he has limited time, that's okay. Of course, I love to have him on it. I was super excited because he's the one who came to me. I've been wanting to do this and saying this for a while, trying to manifest it. And he came to me one day and he was like, because he didn't want to start a business. He didn't want to be online. He didn't want to do any of this. He was just a clinical guy, but he decided he's really good at gaming. He's like, I'm going to do Twitch. I'm going to do YouTube. I'm going to do all these things. And why not? Let's do your podcast too, because I need to practice just speaking. And he enjoys it. He enjoys learning and the self-development aspect of it as well. So that's what really helped. I'm like, you know what? I need to see everything he is doing. And that's all I can do is just be grateful. And you never know when things can change and he can be on more episodes, but it's perfectly fine. I have peace with however the podcast unfolds.
Love it. Thank you for going into that. I'm going to ask you just two last questions before we get the best way for the listener to be able to find you and get a hold of you. And just by the way, I'm subscribed to it myself. High Vibe Mindset is her podcast. She and her husband run it. They've been doing it since January 3rd of 2021. go and check it out. And if you listen to an episode or two and you get value, leave her an honest written rating and review. I would be honored if you would do that. And certainly if you'd let her know, hey, I heard about you on Adam Adams' podcast, that would make me even more happy. So please do that. Melissa, the last things that I'm curious about is kind of like your podcast, your direction, what you've learned, what you haven't learned, what you're going to do, what you would have done different. All of that, we learned a ton from you. And now what I'm wondering is, so I've got three things to wrap up today's conversation with you. And we've learned a ton so far. The first one is, what is the biggest challenge you're facing with your podcast today?
Yeah, my biggest challenge would definitely be getting more listeners, having the growth. And so that's a challenge. I'm working on that now by getting someone on board on my team to help me to have a stronger social media presence and get more listeners.
Fantastic. What is the most rewarding or the biggest value to you that you've experienced so far since you started your podcast?
The biggest value for me is honestly, I just love it. I love the guest. I love what we talk about. It really improves my quality of life. And it's just a fun time. But of course, also I'm promoting my services and I'm getting more people to sign up for my masterclass. That's good because I'm using those ads. I'm promoting myself as my own sponsor on my podcast, but it's just definitely the experience. I love it. I love podcasting.
That is so brilliant that you're doing that. And to the listener, I absolutely 100% think that you need to be monetizing your show. She's monetizing her show with her own masterclass that gets probably into another level of working with her one-on-one. And so for you in particular, I want you to be doing the exact same thing. I want you to be able to monetize your show. And I'm trying to think, episode 5, episode 10, and episode 30 are all about monetization. Episode 5, episode 10, and episode 30. So if you want more value on how to monetize your show, 5, 10, and 30. Melissa, how does the listener find you and get a hold of you?
Yes. So you can go to highvibemindset.buzzsprout.com and that will take you to all the places that we're on because we're on iTunes and Spotify and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Love, love, love it. High Vibe Mindset. And again, if you're listening to this and you got value from Melissa, which I know you did because I did, I learned a ton. Just be honest, I try to claim that I'm the expert, but I learned so much from you today. If you're listening and you got a lot of value from her, I just really think that it would benefit you and her if you took a moment to go over to her podcast, which is High Vibe Mindset. The link is already in the show notes. Just scroll down and give her an honest rating and review after listening to a couple of episodes. I would be honored, and I know that it would benefit her and grow her show as well. And if her show is anything like what I experienced today interviewing her, you're going to get a ton of value over there. Melissa Smith from High Vibe Mindset, thanks for jumping on. That's a wrap. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.